Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
On the menu of energy sources, there's the side of dirty fuels, like coal and oil, and there's the side of clean, or low to zero pollution, like wind, solar, and nuclear. And somewhere kind of in the middle is natural gas, and the form in which it's usually exported, liquefied natural gas, or LNG.
LNG kind of occupies this weird middle ground. You know, particularly kind of developing countries who had been using coal to power their generators would switch over to LNG. And this included places like South Korea, Japan. China used it, got into LNG because obviously China still has a problem with how much coal it uses, but it had been using LNG to kind of displace some of those coal plants. So in that respect, you know, LNG supporters will say, well, look, you know, our product is a positive good for the world. We're helping bring down emissions from coal plants. But progressives don't like fossil fuels because they point to climate change. And they'll say, well, look, LNG may be cleaner than coal, but it's not perfectly clean. And there's a case to be made where, you know, instead of getting countries hooked on LNG, why don't we help them just kind of leapfrog fossil fuels altogether, just get them to like solar or wind or whatever kind of renewable energy we can get them on instead of going, you know, to keep them on the fossil fuel hook.
So with that as the backdrop, what is the Biden administration's position on LNG?
Who knows?
I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy. And today, Ben LaFabe on Biden's views on LNG and how ambiguity is the industry's worst enemy. It's Tuesday, June 8th.
We know that, you know, President Biden himself has been a proponent of LNG in the past. It fits in with his, you know, foreign affairs wheelhouse. But the administration itself has been busy pointing to, you know, the need to get away from fossil fuels and get, you know, more solar panels put up, get more offshore wind turbines put up. So they haven't really come out and explicitly stated, you know, where they are specifically on LNG. You know, we have White House climate envoy John Kerry saying, if you keep investing in fossil fuel projects, those are just, you know, going to be stranded assets. But then you have Department of Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm saying, you know, LNG is a useful tool. And it's something that we're going to be behind.
It also sounds like a major unanswered question mark here is how the Biden administration is going to approach international climate finance. What are they expected to do in that space?
So they're expected to kind of, you know, have a statement coming out saying that the U.S. is going to back away from financing any sort of overseas fossil fuel projects. Like, we won't use tax dollars to help kind of companies, you know, build, like, let's say an LNG plant or, you know, just any kind of fossil fuel project overseas. But it's also expected to have some exceptions in the formula. So there's also been talk of having a national security exemption where, like, if it helps them get off Russian gas, and then we'll maybe kick in some taxpayer dollars for financing. So critics of LNG are kind of worried that there's going to be so many loopholes to this that it's basically the Swiss cheese.
What's happened in the energy sector is phenomenal from the standpoint of production of liquefied natural gas.
Today we celebrate the amazing workers at Sempra Energy as you open the Cameron LNG export facility for business. I've never seen a thing like this in my life. This is incredible.
LNG exports were obviously a big part of the energy diplomacy of the previous administration. Have they in any way tied the Biden administration's hands by that focus with LNG exports?
Not necessarily. I mean, one of the things I heard from a few folks when we were reporting this story out was, while the Trump administration was great at cheerleading, the actual Trump administration policies really hurt LNG exports. I mean, the whole trade war with China, who was always a big customer of U.S. gas, the steel tariffs, which made it much more expensive to build a new LNG plant or even finish construction of, you know, something that had been in process. So now they're saying, well, with the Biden folks, it's almost the opposite, where we don't get the cheerleading and we don't get any kind of clear policy, you know, indicators. But at the same time, the Biden folks are not doing anything that would hinder LNG businesses from going on their own way.
I can't imagine all this ambiguity on LNG is sitting well with environmental groups. What are they saying in response to this?
They've been pushing for the Biden folks to basically just pull all money, all public money from financing of any overseas fossil fuel projects, which would include LNG projects. And they're not happy that they're not hearing a clear message on that's what we're going to be doing. So they're pushing the administration to just come out and say, you know, no dollars for fossil fuels, like, period.
And industry itself, is ambiguity something they can live with? I mean, with not an all-out, you know, denial from the Biden administration, are they okay with ambiguity?
I shouldn't say they're not okay. It's something they can live with, but it makes their lives a little bit more difficult. So some examples I heard were, if a company's trying to make a deal to sell LNG into Europe, maybe Germany, you know, the Germans aren't sure about where the Biden administration is. Is the administration more looking to give the money for renewable projects in Germany or Central Europe? So some of the buyers may be a little bit hesitant to sign on to anything if they don't know exactly what the administration is going to do. The hardest part is when they don't know what the administration is going to do. So buyers are uncertain whether they should, you know, sign on the dotted line now or, you know, wait till later. That's what they really don't like.
Also, more than 60 House Republicans want the president to revisit his decision to waive sanctions blocking the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. In a letter Monday, signed by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and Minority Whip Steve Scalise, the lawmakers are urging the administration to fully implement the sanctions mandated by Congress to permanently stop completion of the pipeline. Last month, the White House announced it would not sanction the company responsible for construction of the pipeline, citing the project's progress as a fait accompli, and saying instead the administration would work with Germany to limit its impact on Europe's energy security.
The physical completion of the pipeline was, I think, a fait accompli. And irrespective of sanctioning that entity and its CEO, that would not, in our judgment, have changed anything in terms of the physical completion.
That's Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
Now, Germany has come to the table, and we are actively engaged with them to look at what can and should, and I believe must be done, to make sure that the transit fees that Ukraine at some point in the future may lose as a result of this pipeline being able to go around Ukraine, that they're made whole.
For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Ben Lefebvre covers the oil industry and energy policy at Politico. Some of the music in today's show came from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Chevron is lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations, exploring renewable fuels of the future, and investing in low-carbon technologies. Because it's only human to protect the home we share. Learn more at chevron.com/lowercarbon.